2022. Present, Bill Camp, Jeannie Byrne, Rob McLean. So we have a pledge of allegiance right here. Rob, do you want to lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Any comments from the public on items not on this agenda? Seeing none, move on to the presentations. Presentation, progress report from Cal-Am on the Monterey Peninsula Water Manage, Water Supply Project.
Thank you. Ian Crutch with Cal-Am. And what I will put here on the overhead is just our standard project schedule overview that we always reference here in these meetings. And the two main items I thought were worthy of an update is the test well. Things are looking pretty positive at the moment that we will reach the October Coastal Commission hearing, which is October 7th to the 9th in Long Beach. And so we continue to work closely to reach that goal, and right now things are looking pretty good.
Just a question on that. What are there still things you need to present to Coastal Commission on that, or?
No, the Coastal Commission is preparing their staff report, and we're just helping to field questions that they have. And then just a last note was just to bring to attention to everyone that the commission did issue a notice that they are going to do a joint CEQA NEPA document. So that announcement is official now that decision has been made. And so it hasn't changed our schedule, but that's the schedule that's shown in the red above is sort of reflecting our best estimate of when the timing of those documents would be released. Retract that statement. We should have a draft EIR in March or April, a draft combined document, I should say. So that would change to a draft EIR NEPA document. And then we'd be looking a little bit final a little bit later, and then still a CPUC decision September, October. That's our estimate today, but we'll wait for the final timeline to be published from the commission to update this chart. Okay. There were two items on the overview. If anyone has any questions on that?
Any questions?
In terms of the Coastal Commission, any indication is.
In terms of the Coastal Commission, any indication as to whether they're making changes that really helps move ahead, or are we seeing new hurdles inserted into the language at this point?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm seeing positive acceptance or consideration of what we said in the application.
Excellent. And I'm kind of curious about the test well. In terms of, is there any deterioration of the test well over time while it's idle, or is a restart a pretty straightforward kind of thing?
Yeah, good question. We're actually going to we're going to use this opportunity in October because it's non-plover season to also do some test well maintenance, and part of that is videoing it. So we're going to gain that additional knowledge here in October.
Okay.
I'll report back out on that.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And I guess the other question is if combining these two reports, is that going to slow up the process, or is that an effort to move it forward faster? Or?
Yeah, that's somewhat incorporated into this overall schedule, but the commission has indicated that they expect to have the whole thing done by the end of 16. And now, you know, the individual components of that, we're waiting for that to be published. That's
what I think Ian, Jeannie's question is more, my understanding is the commission actually and the sanctuary got together and have taken the position that doing them together is actually a faster outcome than doing them sequentially. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's their position. We hope that holds to be the case when they're finally delivered.
Is there some reason they didn't start out in that direction?
That's a long story, but looking back on it, I think you would say that that should have happened. But I think at that point in time, one of the original issues was who is the appropriate lead federal agency? And it took the federal government some time to reach that conclusion. I don't know if you want to, is that about right, Ian?
Yeah, that's right. They waited for the draft. They wanted to wait for the draft CEQA document to come out before they had a better handle. Okay.
Is there anyone from the public has a comment? Question, whatever. Okay. Great, thank you. So moving on to our next item, review CalAM's notification number 9, draft request for proposals and draft construction contract, Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project.
Thank you again, Ian Crooks, CalAM. So in front of you, what we provided was our draft RFP and contract to procure the source wells. And what you have in front of you document-wise, it's similar to the same documents we've provided in the past for the conveyance facilities. Basically the same framework. And so you've seen a lot of the information before, and we've incorporated prior comments from governance committee on the contracts. So that's incorporated there. We also have incorporated conflict of interest provisions as requested by the authority and others, and that's in the contract as well. So I thought I'd touch on just basically the schedule of the RFP. And so we are moving forward this along with the conveyance facilities, all the pipelines. This is source wells we've learned through the test well and other things that this is a critical path item that we identify our contractor and then begin all the preparation work in order to start construction on the source wells. If I back up a moment here, if we look at trying to start these production wells scheduled in line out here, we need plenty of time to plan and get things going on the source wells. So that's why this is before you today for consideration. And one of the things too is the contract has limited exposure until the CPUC's decision of about $40,000 of pre-planning activity. So we have a limited exposure on costs until we have commission decision. But it does allow us to get all ready and ramped up and be prepared. And so.
So I have a question on the commission decision. I mean, does that mean you're 90% approved? You're essentially good to go? What does that indicate?
Right, so that would be an indication from the CPUC that the project is approved.
Okay.
As far as the overall project.
Right, but that is somewhere after this October 23rd date. I mean, when do you expect that decision?
Well, right now we were expecting a CPUC decision in late 2016. Okay. Yeah, but we've had indications from our contractors and folks that are looking at this job that, you know, they could need up to a year, 6 months, just to prepare equipment and rigs. This is not ordinary stuff.
Right.
So Ian, today, what exactly is the committee doing? Are we essentially hearing your feedback and then the committee needs to look at these documents and respond to the, I guess we'd call it CAN, which stands for, what is that, CalAM notification?
CalAM notification.
And so, yeah, number nine.
Right.
And so is the action just to hear Ian's report? Or are we voting on acceptance of the documents?
Right, I think we need to vote on the acceptance of the documents. That these are approved to go ahead and submit.
Yeah, and you have a,
As a draft. Acknowledging that over.
Draft on it, yeah.
Acknowledging over time that as we go through the remaining procurement process, they may change. And I think our intent is to come back to the committee again before they're executed and awarded, so there's that final check at the, kind of at the end of the process.
They were the major items that I had to speak to, have to answer questions.
Any questions, still?
I'll wait for public.
Okay, anybody from the public want to make a comment?
Hi, good afternoon, Jim Cullum, we're two past today. Executive Director for the Water Authority and also American Public Works Association, and you'll see the connection there in a minute. One item on, with respect, or one comment with respect to this item, and that is our Technical Advisory Committee of the Water Authority typically tries to review technical issues. We have not yet seen the details of this proposal, so depending on whether it works with CalAM's schedule and with the Governance Committee, I might suggest that where it says develop a recommendation to CalAM concerning the RFP and contract, possibly we could make a recommendation that it be referred, remanded to the Technical Advisory Committee of the Water Authority for its comment, and then come back for a decision. Of course, it all depends on CalAM's schedule, whether that's doable at this stage. It seems like we have some slack in the situation, but that'd be the recommendation on that item. Secondly, with respect to both this item, and I actually should have gotten up earlier, I thought that we would have more opportunity to discuss the desal project design status and the conveyance facility status rather than just the test well. But where the APWA piece comes in, as well as prior action by the Water Authority, is one of the components that we had requested from the Governance Committee was approved back when we were talking about the design build, was an effort to get leads and or leads-like recognition for this project. There's tremendous opportunity here for sustainability. And as a matter of fact, as the Governance Committee will recall, back in May of 2013, when there were two design teams from Cal Poly, student design team from Cal Poly, that came back with sustainability recommendations. Those sustainability recommendations, along with what I had recommended on behalf of the authority for the Governance Committee and was included in the RFP for the design build firm, was this business of sustainability. And we would request, at this stage, I think I'm comfortable with requesting, both on behalf of the authority and also on behalf of American Public Works Association here, our local chapter, that those types of components are included in the RFP, that we request that, particularly for sourceable wells, because the opportunity for sustainability is so great. I will note that CDM Smith, for example, happens to be a leader in vision and in leads. In fact, I just came from a conference where they shared a presentation on the subject. So Envision, which is kind of the infrastructure equivalent of leads for those who might not be familiar, and there's more information available if you want, is the opportunity for infrastructure-oriented projects to receive recognition for sustainability efforts. And that scoring system is what is now largely recognized by the technical organizations such as APWA, ASCE, and the ISI and others as a reasonable way to get recognition for sustainability. I personally think, and I think the authority would agree, this is a difficult project, it's expensive, and we need all the good public relations we can get. We have a great opportunity with this project to gain recognition for its sustainability elements, but you have to start early because you have to document early. And to the extent you document, you have a better chance of getting an award.
And I know when we brought this up before, I am not a proponent of actual LEED certification because it's so expensive just to produce all the paperwork, but we did stress that it would be along the same qualifications as LEED. So that is not currently in this proposal.
Well,
okay,
our discussion before was related to the plant itself, if you
right,
recall.
Right.
and I think we've taken your direction on that and are working on that basis. This is related to the wells, and of course we have previously been before the committee on the pipeline infrastructure. So I think at Cal-Am we should take back the feedback here and consider the envision and see if it makes sense to incorporate that in.
And now, is there an issue timeline-wise if this was, if we are to refer this back, I mean, we can essentially approve it based on referring it back to the technical advisory committee and then bring it back? I mean,
yeah, I think it would, Jim, it'd be good to know how long will that be before we get the feedback.
Well, I think I can get this before the technical advisory committee at its October meeting, which would be the first week. Now, maybe what you want to do here would be to consider if this is going to move forward, you don't have to wait for another governance committee meeting, which simply to do it in parallel.
Yeah.
Would be to proceed with what you're going to do, because you're making a recommendation at this point.
That's what I think.
And also remand it to our technical advisory committee. We'll have an opportunity to review it. If it looks like it's something we need to take the authority, we can also do that in October. And in parallel with the efforts of Cal-Am, we'll get you our feedback.
I think that works. My sense is we'll go ahead knowing that this is not final anyway and subject to edits. And so it'd be good to get the feedback. I think we can incorporate it in as the process moves forward.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? All right, we'll bring it back. Bill, do you have some comments?
I do. I think there was a mention of a $40,000 exposure between the time the contract is executed and the time the CPUC makes its decision. And I assume that was the CPCN. There's a long time in there, and $40,000 struck me as a very, very small amount of money. Could you help understand why we're able to do that? And by the way, totally consistent with what I believe our objective is as a governance committee, which is to make sure that we minimize the exposures to ratepayers of the decisions that are made to bring this project forward. So that part's good news. It's just, I don't understand how $40,000 goes for 9 months.
Mm-hmm. The $40,000 is intended to cover their sort of manager's fee, their proposal manager fee to work with us on schedule and other nuances of getting this project out the gate. We did do something similar to this in the test well when they worked with us for about 3 months prior to actually mobilizing.
Now, when you say they, who are you referring to?
Just a contractor, whoever selected.
Oh, okay. So this is after, the $40,000 is after the award of the contract.
Yes, after contract execution, that gives them a little bit of money to be able to attend meetings with us, come, you know, work with us on time.
Okay.
So, but it doesn't involve any procurement or anything like that.
So they're not actually going to be outfitting any rigs or doing any, you know, special tooling that's required to drill this kind of well.
No, that if they did that, that's on them. If they think that's their, they need to do that to meet the schedule. They will be held to a schedule in the RFP, so you know, they need to do what they need to do. That's where we're at.
And just one more question. How many wells are we talking about drilling?
Yeah. So the contract is for two options. One is to bid on 7 wells, and the other is a price to do 9. Plus we have the test well, and that is, if we can repurpose that into production well, that's what we plan to do. So that's our plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a couple of questions, and maybe it's on your timeline here. What is the timeline for actually awarding the contract?
Yeah, so that's, we would come back to the governance committee around this early, you know, your December meeting to inform you of the proposal and what the pricing looks like, and then execute the contract by January or so.
Okay, so, and again, part of this is looking at stranded costs. If for some reason this doesn't go forward, at what point does this trigger actual expenditure?
It would, from that time, the $40,000 is our exposure at the moment till the CPUC approval. And that's just T&M, though. So they have to submit actual invoicing for their time.
So that contract is executed in January, that's when the $40,000 starts up?
Yes, is available for.
Okay, and so then you have a notice to proceed and you don't have a timeline for that yet?
Yeah, well, so the notice to proceed is, we would envision after the Coastal Commission approval. So that would be up for us meeting up in here, beginning 17, and then notice to proceed would occur after that. So that's when the contract would really start.
That's when the expenditure really starts.
The big dollars, yes.
Okay. Again, just sort of looking at what the ratepayers are already paying for in terms of projects that didn't happen, we just want to make sure that they're not paying for another one.
Yeah.
Okay. And any other comments? I'll open it up for the public again. Any comments? All right, bring it back.
I do have one more question on sustainable aspects of this. That word gets used a lot. I was wondering if there's a tangible example or two of what might be relevant for this particular RFP. Jim, maybe you had it in mind, if I might.
Well, I may be guessing because I'm not an innovation expert, but the fact is just the very fact that we're using slant wells, for example, and not open water intake in and of itself is a major sustainable advantage because you're not dealing with.
We think.
Yes. You're right. We think. So, but I think it needs to be approached in some, and there's other considerations that we deal with the design and how, you know, how it's maintained and how it's utilized. So I think that there's opportunities. For example, another example may be the fact that the discharge line is envisioned to be co-located or part of the waste management district. That saves a substantial amount of cost manufacture and then impact on the environment. So that, you know, again, I think it seems to me there's opportunities. I'm certainly not an expert in it. Fortunately, with CDM Smith is, although they're not necessarily going to have these contracts. But the fact is, I think there's expertise available that could show us the opportunities that may exist for the sustainability, and then say, okay, given these opportunities, some of which already exist, just need to document. What benefit accrues to Calam and community if that can be documented? Examples I gave are just my best guess, but I'm sure there's others that will come out of the design and would be incorporated in this design as well as the pipeline design. Same thing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Just to share the editorial comment on this, I think sustainability is always a good quest. I feel that the challenge is always to make sure that there is truly a payoff and it's not merely a feel-good objective, but there's something that we can quantify in terms of ultimate cost, life cycle cost over the long term, or quality of life impact for the people affected by the project. And that if we pursue sustainability, that somehow we spell out criteria of goodness in terms of what makes the project better as a result of sustainable factors, and not simply that we're able to tag a label on it. Personal outlook on that.
Okay. Any other comments? So what we need is a motion, and it needs to include Jim's comments in terms of going to the technical advisory committee and also incorporate the sustainable standards that might be seen in LEED, et cetera.
Yeah, I'd refer to it as envision. LEED is more of a building, and
right.
Envision is infrastructure.
Well, and I don't think, as before, I personally don't think it warrants the expense for the paperwork. I'd rather see it go into the project.
I'll move that we approve the draft RFP as presented, noting that the Regional Water Authority Technical Advisory Committee will review and provide comments at their next meeting, and also ask that there be consideration of sustainable aspects that can improve life cycle cost or other factors in according to some well-recognized criteria.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There you go. All right.
There we go.
Our next item is adoption of the minutes. I think because neither of us were at this, we reviewed the minutes, but we can accept them. Have a motion on that?
I'll move that we accept the minutes from the prior governance committee meeting.
Their comment?
I would only make one editorial comment, is on page, note number 5 of the minutes. First sentence under action 5, it said October, it meant September. It just said that we would present to the governance committee the RFP for the source wells. It said October, but it was, it's today, September.
Oh, okay.
That's a small edit.
With that correction?
I'll move that we approve the minutes with that correction. With the correction of changing presentation of the RFP from October to September.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Adopted. Suggestions for future agendas? Do we have any comments on that?
Well, I think we'll be back in December to talk about the results of this procurement. And similarly, we have a procurement happening on the pipelines that is a little bit behind December, right? So is that, where do you figure that will be on the agenda in January, maybe?
It would likely be November. We'd be able to talk about something. The bids are due November 2nd.
Okay. So when would, do you think we'd be coming back for the second CalAM notification?
December.
So maybe we have two items on the December meeting then?
Yes.
Okay.
So now this was a draft that we approved, and there could be some modifications to that. Does it need to come back before it goes out?
No, but it'll come back before it's executed between CalAM and the contractor.
Right, okay.
So both of those are in December. As far as October, November, I guess we'll have to see. Maybe.
Wait and see.
We'll wait and see.
I mean, if there was something critical that the technical advisory committee came up with, we would probably bring this back in October.
Yeah, okay. That sounds fair.
All right. Any other comments? Adjourned.